illuminate the Word of God, that it would be very simple, very clear for us to understand. And Father, we would just point towards Easter Sunday as we look at Your Word and Jesus' pathway to victory. The victory is ours because Jesus has overcome. So speak to us right now. We're listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday started a 4-message series on Jesus' pathway to victory. And the first big event in the life of Jesus was He was born. Amen? And that's a big one. He was born. And we looked at that from a prophetic perspective, as well as the fact that it was the culmination, really, of spiritual warfare, and how God had a plan from the foundation of the world to redeem us from our sin. And the way I'm approaching this series is to try to focus on events that happened in Jesus' life, all of which are significant. That's why we go to church, because every week we're trying to unwrap more about what Jesus did for us. So it'll take us a lifetime and we still won't even scratch the surface. But in this particular 4-message series, what I'm trying to do is to focus on events that impact us today, right now. Not that they all didn't, because the miracles do, but specifically, what did Jesus do? His being born, obviously, was a big deal for our day-to-day life. And today I want us to look at another event in the life of Jesus that really has a lot to do with us that I think we really don't understand. And it's His baptism. It was really the outset of His ministry, the very beginning of His ministry. In fact, Jesus, the living Son of God, the bookends of His ministry, He started His ministry by being baptized in the Jordan River, and He culminated, finished His ministry in Matthew 28 by commanding us to make disciples and go and baptize. So if the Son of God considers baptism important enough for it to be the beginning and the end of His ministry, I would say to you that probably makes it a pretty big deal. Now, there are two extreme thoughts about baptism that are both wrong. The first extreme are those that say you have to get baptized, usually in their church, in order to go to heaven. And so it's a big deal. The other extreme would say, well, you don't have to get baptized in order to go to heaven, so it's not that big of a deal. Those are two extremes. And the truth is absolutely right in the middle. You don't have to get baptized in order to go to heaven, but it really is a big deal. And it's not a big deal because Baptists say that it's a big deal. It's a big deal because the Bible says it's a big deal. In fact, 74 times in the New Testament, the word baptize is used. And so it's a big deal to God, and I think it's a big deal to us. In order for us to examine baptism, the significance of it, and why you should be baptized as a believer, I want to ask you and answer 3 questions this morning. The first question is, what is the symbolism of baptism? Look at the meaning of baptism, first of all. Mark 1, chapter 9, verse 11, tells us in great detail about the beginning of the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, let's just stop right there. That's pretty cool. That Jesus started His ministry by being baptized. Now just real quick, let me just give you a spoiler alert. Because I'm going to tell you the whole message right now, just in case you tune out later. Here's the deal. You know what baptism is? It's the symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me read that verse to you again. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Do you know what Jesus was doing right there? He was summarizing. You say, what does baptism have to do with the Easter story? Well, Jesus equated baptism with the Easter story. He summarized His entire life at the very beginning of His earthly ministry. Because baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are My Son, whom I love. With You I am well pleased." Now, if you could go back 2,000 years, the Greek language, the Bible, there's different types of Greek. But the language that the Bible is written in is called Koine Greek, K-O-I-N-E, Koine Greek. And that simply means common. It was the language of the common man. After all, it was written, the New Testament, mostly by fishermen, just average, ordinary people. And so it's just a common language. If you could go back 2,000 years ago, you would have heard in everyday language a word in the Greek that applied to many different things. And it was the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. It's a fun word to say. Baptizo. I like to say it. Baptizo. And it literally means to immerse, to dip, or to dunk. It was used to describe ships that sunk at sea, or cloth that had been colored with dye of a certain color. One ancient Jewish historian even recorded and described the death of a man who was murdered by baptism. Now, don't let that prevent you from following in baptism. And let me just say, by the way, that this is free. In other words, he was drowned. He drowned to death. But let me just say to you, and this is all free, and we'll get into this a little bit more later. I'm pretty sure he wasn't sprinkled to death. But be that as it may, he was baptizo. For a long period of time, that word baptizo had... That's five times I've said it. Baptizo, baptizo, baptizo. But baptizo had no religious significance whatsoever. Women baptized their dishes. Sinking ships were baptized into the sea. Kids playing in the river would baptize each other. But then one day a man came along by the name of John. And John started doing something crazy. He started baptizing people. Mark 1 verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Let's just call a timeout right here, because this is a proof text that a lot of people will use when they will say to you, you have to get baptized in order for your sins to be forgiven. Because Mark 1 verse 4, Jesus came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But that's not what it says. I can read, and it does say that, but can I explain that verse to you so you'll understand that it does not mean that baptism washes away your sin? Because it doesn't. Maybe you go down to the post office and there's a wanted poster and it might say, wanted for murder. That doesn't mean you want them to commit a murder. You got to find them so they can commit a murder for you. No, they're wanted because they committed a murder, right? Well, that verse could read like this. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance because of the remission of sins. In other words, you don't get baptized to wash your sins away. You get baptized because your sins have been washed away. Well, John said that baptism was an outward sign of an inward repentance. In fact, he became so identified with the new meaning of this word baptizo that he became known as John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. Maybe you've heard of him. John did something in a religious setting that had never been done before. He baptized people who wanted to repent from their sin and place their faith in God. So that's the meaning of baptizo. But look at the method of baptism. I mean, why are we so stuck, us Baptists, on the mode, on the method of baptism? Why does it have to be by immersion? Well, it's important to see how Jesus himself was baptized to know that that is the biblical way. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. Literally, it says, he was baptized into the Jordan. Verse 10 tells us that Jesus immediately came up out of the water. Now, it's obvious to me, and I'm pretty simple-minded, but it's obvious to me that the reason that Jesus came up out of the water is because he had been placed down into the water. That's just common sense to me. In John chapter 3, 22 and 23, we read this. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time there with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing at Anon near Salem because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. That verse is revealing to me. I mean, why did John have to have much water? If baptism was done by sprinkling, John would not have needed much water. But he needed much water. In biblical baptism, you have to go down into the water. That's exactly what we read about in Jesus' case. And we also read about it in other instances as well. Maybe you've heard of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, 38, and we're going to look at him a little bit more in a moment. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Listen to Paul's description of baptism if you want to understand the symbolism of it all. Therefore, we were buried with him, Christ, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You see, when you bury a corpse, you don't just get a handful of dirt and sprinkle it on them and let them bake in the sun. No, you bury them. You bury them beneath the ground. And really, that's the picture of a baptistry. It really is just a liquid tomb. That's the imagery of it all. It's a liquid tomb where a person is to be buried beneath the water. But understand this. This is not a matter of salvation, but it is a big deal because without question, the New Testament way of being baptized is by immersion. So let's ask the second question. The first question, what is the symbolism of baptism? Well, it's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But who are the subjects of baptism? That is, who's eligible to be baptized? Well, in the New Testament, the only kind of baptism that was practiced, the only kind, are you listening to me? In the Bible, the only baptism that was ever practiced was believers' baptism. That's it. That's the sequence. That's the order. You believe and you get baptized. Now, I grew up all of my life, my dad being a pastor, I grew up all of my life with churches that would have invitations. I'm a firm believer in inviting people to respond to the message, to the gospel of whatever is shared, and giving people an opportunity to respond. And all of my life, we would do invitation. But that's not biblical. I mean, giving an invitation is biblical, but walking down the aisle of a church is not biblical. It's nowhere in the Bible. The biblical way of professing Jesus Christ was baptism. To follow the Lord in baptism. That was how you identified with Christ. So here's the biblical order. You believe and then you get baptized. I'm not making this up. Let me give you some examples. Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up extemporaneously, just inspired by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when the disciples were accused of being drunk because they started speaking in other languages that they didn't even know. And people that had gathered there for Pentecost celebration, they heard the gospel proclaimed in their own language. And 3,000 people get saved. Now check this out. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Those who believed got baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I'd love to have been there that day. Can you imagine 3,000 people getting baptized? I heard of a church one time in Little Rock, Arkansas. Chuck McAllister was the pastor, a good friend of mine. Chuck had a show on some network. It was like a hunting and fishing show, so I never watched it. But anyway, he's a big deal. So anyway, they had so many people get saved that they had two people baptizing in the baptistry, and they just did it opposite directions. I would love to have that problem just one time. But 3,000 people? Can you imagine? I almost feel like they probably baptized themselves. They all got down there in the water and just... How do you baptize? I would love to have been there that day. That would have been awesome. Acts 8 verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the same of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. After they believed, they were baptized. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch a moment ago? Acts chapter 8, let me back up and fill in the blanks a little bit. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. My dad, I was a little kid, but I remember when he would baptize. It was really cool. It's an image in my mind to this day. He would take the water after he baptized, and he would take the water into his hands, and he would lift it up, and he would say, "Here's water." And he'd let it pour out, and you could hear it trickling down into the pool. "Here's water. what doth hinder you from being baptized? I've never done it, but I think it's cool. And I will ask you, what is it that's holding you back from being baptized, from following the Lord's command? The Ethiopian eunuch believed, and as soon as he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the living Son of God, ho! Got baptized. I like that. Then there's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the Philippian jailer. Remember the story how they were fast in the stocks, Paul and Silas were locked into the stocks, and the Philippian jailer thought he was going to have to take his own life because his prisoners had escaped. And he brought them out and said, sirs, as Peter and, Paul and Silas said, hey, we're here. Don't hurt yourself. So he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately, he and his family were baptized. I got to tell you, there's a modern day phenomenon about this baptism thing where we act like it ain't a big deal. Listen to me. It's a big deal to Jesus. It's a big deal to the body of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for us. And the Bible says that when the Philippian jailer believed, he and his whole family, they didn't put it off till a more convenient time, the same hour. Man, they immediately followed the Lord and demonstrated their faith in Christ, and they got baptized. I like that. Now, I want to hasten to add that the Bible is very plain that you don't have to be baptized in order to get saved. I understand that. I want you to understand that. But listen to me. Water doesn't save anybody, regardless if it's a spoonful or a tank full. Water can't save you. The only liquid in the Bible that will save you is the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. So the next time somebody tells you, you got to go get baptized in their water in their church in order to go to heaven, how about just quote them 1 John 1 verse 7, that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. And brother and sister, I got to tell you, if you've experienced that the blood of Jesus has washed you white as snow, man, that makes me want to just get baptized all over again. See, a person's never baptized in order to be saved. A person is baptized because they've been saved and they want to show that they've been saved. So let me say, if your faith in Christ is not strong enough, are you listening? If your faith in Christ, you say, oh, I believe Jesus lived. I believe Jesus died. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. You say you believe all that, but you're not willing to get baptized. If your faith in Christ is not strong enough to get you into the baptismal pool, what makes you think that your faith is real enough to get you to heaven? I mean, that just puzzles me. How people can put off being obedient to the Lord who they say has transformed their life. Now, I want to ask the third question, and that is, what's the significance of baptism? I want to give you three words today that you need to write down so you can share it with somebody else or maybe apply it to your own heart this morning. Three words that demonstrate for us why you should be baptized once you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Three words, why baptism is such a big deal. The first word is identification. Identification. I mean, think about this for a moment. When you ask, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus wasn't a sinner. He didn't need to become a believer. He's the one that we're to believe in. He wasn't professing his faith in God. He was God. So why was Jesus baptized? I believe he was baptized to identify with the body of Christ, to give us an example. And that's what we do. When we follow the Lord in believers' baptism, we are identifying not only with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we're identifying with the body of Christ. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ followed in baptism. He followed, and the Lord said, this is my Son, I'm well pleased. And from that example, for 2,000 years, we are linked together with all of the believers of all the ages that have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. I really like that picture of identification. See, the reason Jesus was baptized is directly related to why we should be baptized, because it's a means of identification. Baptism is God's physical picture of the gospel, and we know what the gospel is, that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And that's exactly what baptism pictures, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess what? That's exactly what Paul says in Romans 6, 3 through 5. Check this out. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I love that phrase. A newness of life. If you've never had newness of life, you're lost. It's a symbol of the newness of life. It's an outward picture of what's happened in your heart, that you have this newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We're united together. We identify together through baptism. Baptism is a means of identification. The second word is publication. Publication. You got that? As I've already told you in the New Testament, a profession of faith was not walking down the aisle of a church, but rather it was being baptized. 30 years ago, I got married. I put my ring in my pocket today because Mary Jack bought a real cheap ring, and about 10 years ago, it just shrunk to nothing. And it won't go past that knuckle right there. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. It might have been longer than 10 years ago, but I've been fat a long time. But my knuckles have swole up. My mama used to tell me don't pop my knuckles, and this might have been the reason why. I got it on there this morning, had to get it off with soap, so I'm not putting it back on there. But I got married, and we exchanged rings. Now, that ring don't make me married, right? The ring don't make me married. The ring is a symbol of the fact that I got married. I can take that ring off, as I'm getting ready to do, and put it in my pocket, and I'm still married to my wife, Mary Jack. I'm still married to her. Baptism does not save you, but it shows that you are saved. It is the mark. It publicizes the fact that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's the statement of your faith. Heard about a little boy who went to children's Sunday school, church, whatever, children's church. And I'm so grateful, man. I know we got a lot of people in here that volunteer in our children's ministry. And I just say hats off. Thank you so much. It's an investment of your time that is critical for the development of our kids. And kids are so sharp these days. Terry Honeycutt does a fantastic job in our weekday preschool. Man, them kids learn stuff. And then Tina Robertson does a fantastic job with our children's ministry. And children learn the most basic fundamental stuff. And I tell people all the time, don't bring your kids to church faithfully if you don't want them to get saved. Because they're going to get to an age where they look at life and they go, you know what, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to do what Jesus asked me to do. And it's very simple to a kid. That's why Jesus said, forbid not the kids to come unto me. And without childlike faith, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Because it's that kind of faith where you simply say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus wants me to get baptized. Okay, I'll do it. Because Jesus is in my heart. It's very simple to a kid. And it ought to be simple to you. Well, that kid had gone to church that morning. He had learned all the cues, and he had reached that age, and it just started clicking with him that he wanted to receive Christ. So he prayed there in children's church and invited Jesus into his heart. And he was so excited. And the minister, the children's minister said, listen, you need to go find the pastor, and you need to tell him that you've given your heart to Jesus and you want to get baptized. Well, by the time the service rolled around and he found the pastor, he'd gotten his words a little jumbleized. And he came to the pastor and said, preacher, I've given my heart to Jesus, and I want to get advertised. And boy, that's perfect. Because that's exactly what baptism is. It is advertising that you belong to the Lord. It's advertising to the world that you've become a believer in Jesus Christ, accepting his death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for your sins. You are publicizing the fact that there are no secret service agents in the kingdom of God, that he's called you and he's called you publicly and openly to receive him as personal Lord and Savior. So there's identification, there's publication, and the third word is transformation. Why should you get baptized? Because there's been a transformation in your life. I mean, it's a beautiful picture that I want you to get into your mind, because the picture is so important. Baptism pictures the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that we've already read about in Romans chapter 6. I mean, whenever a person is baptized, they're picturing, they're the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I will say to somebody when I baptize, and there's different ways, there's no magical incantation other than in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how the Bible tells us to baptize. But I'll ask them, surely they've already made a profession of their faith or we wouldn't have them in the baptismal pool. But if they've made a profession of their faith, they will stand right there or sit on the bench up there. And I will say, so you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I always tell them, don't leave me hanging. Either shake your head or say, yes. And they will gladly say it, yes. And I say, well, then I baptize you. You've believed, and so I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And what they're showing is my sins have been buried with Christ in baptism. My sins are gone. I was a sinner. I was lost. I deserved to go to hell. But my sins were buried with Christ. He paid the price on Calvary. My sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I'm dead in Christ. But I've been raised to walk in newness of life. That is the power of the Spirit of God. The newness of life. The resurrection of Christ. Risen from the dead. And so because of this transformation, we want to get baptized. You see, it's a picture not only of what God has done for somebody, it's what God's done in somebody. It's what baptism's all about. You're saying, I've been transformed. The old person is dead. The old person's buried. And as a result of believing in Jesus, I'm a brand new person. Baptism is meant to be an outside picture of an inward reality. It's an outward sign of what's already happened in your heart. Three people I want to address real quick as I close. With all of my heart. I don't know what we've done in church these days to where the importance of being obedient to the Lord is a back seat anymore. You can go get some light, fluffy, gospel-like message about how you need to do this and need to do that. Well, what we need to do is be obedient to the Lord. We need to make Jesus Lord of our life. And this is a basic fundamental. A priority one of obedience to the Lord. And the reason a lot of people struggle in their spiritual life is because they've never dealt with the first step of obedience, which is baptism. And there's three groups of people I want to address real quick. First of all, those that have never been baptized because you've never been saved. You've never given your heart to Jesus. And so you've never even followed in baptism. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, every message I preach, every Sunday that I stand in this pulpit, my number one prayer before God, as I even came in this room last night, as I circled this building, my number one prayer over and over again before the Lord is, God, let somebody give their heart to Jesus. And so if this sermon isn't for nobody else but you, I promise you, God loves you so much that He gave His only Son for you, and He wants you to call on His name. He wants you to give Him your heart. And yield your way to His way. Simply say, God, I want You to come into my heart. I want You to save me. And He'll do it just like that. And then I would say to you, if you've really received Jesus into your heart, you need to get baptized. The second group of people are those that have been baptized, but you're not saved. You've done the outward sign, but you've never allowed God to do what only He can do on the inside. There's a lot of people, maybe you were raised in a different denomination and maybe you were christened or sprinkled as an infant. And that's cool that your parents thought enough of you and your future faith that they would do something like that on your behalf, but that was them acting on your behalf. The Word of God teaches that you've got to respond for yourself. And if all you've ever done is get baptized, I'm telling you, there's a lot of baptized people that are not going to make it to heaven because baptism can't save you. You've got to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I'd put you in the same category as the first group, and that is you need to give your heart to Jesus and be biblically baptized as a believer. Then there's a third group. And this is a group I was in for 16 years of my life, and that is you've been baptized, or rather, you've been saved, but you've never been biblically baptized. I got baptized when I was a little kid, but I wasn't saved. I was not saved. I was not a Christian. And for 16 years, I lived that way, not being a Christian. And maybe that's you. I can tell you I've seen this testimony repeated so many times, even right here at Valley View. There was a time in your life where maybe you were moved and stirred and you went forward and you got baptized. But you can look back over the course of your life and you realize, man, I wasn't even a Christian. There had not been a change in my heart. But you know for sure, as you sit here right now, man, there's no doubt in my mind. I know that I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I've been born again. But you've never been baptized since that moment. You haven't been biblically baptized. And you're in the same boat I was in. Listen to me. It's a big deal to Jesus. So I would invite you today to evaluate where you are in your relationship with Christ and in your obedience to Him. You see, you have to get saved in order to get to heaven. But you've got to get baptized in order to be obedient. God, I love you today. And I pray for each and every person in this room and for every category. For those that know the Lord, and Father, I'm grateful that I'm one of those in this room that can say, I know Jesus, and I've been obedient, and I've been baptized. And I pray for each and every person in this room, even for that one that's lost right now, I pray that by the power of the Spirit of God that you convict their heart, change their life, that they can respond today by simply saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to save me. No matter how religious I've been in the past, it's not a matter of being Baptist or Methodist or anything else. I just want to do what the Bible says do. I want to give you my heart. And so I give you my heart today, fully and freely. Father, for those that are in this room who have been saved, but they've never been baptized, I pray that you would prick their hearts about this thing called obedience. Baptism is a big deal because you made it a big deal. And Father, I pray for those in this room who need to unite with this church. I pray for those who need to identify with this body of believers. We just ask that you move and stir as only you can do. We'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.